last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars, supporting Irish businesses with audit, tax, outsourcing and advisory expertise. Visit forvismazars.ie.
Ian Guider of the Business Post is with us. Only last week you were telling us how the Financial Services Union was not happy with Bank of Ireland looking to bring in staff. I think it was 9 days a month, which is effectively 2 days a week. So what the hell are they going to make of what's happening at AIB?
Yes, they are very unhappy. Last week, as you said, Bank of Ireland wanted people back a minimum 8 days per month. Well, Bank of Ireland are being outdone by AIB today. From the start of next year, AIB wants all eligible workers to be back into the office a minimum of 3 days per week. That will affect the majority of its 10,000 staff spread between Ireland and the UK. Of course, lots of people in the banks are already working in the office 5 days a week because they are the people in the front line in branches across the country. But for the rest of the staff who would have been working in hybrid arrangements, maybe coming into the office 1 day a week or 2 days a week, that is not enough anymore. They want you from the beginning of January to get in 3 days. The Financial Services Union are absolutely outraged at this. They point out that over the last couple of years, while people have had hybrid working arrangements, that the bank has made record profits. Now, I don't think people working from home had any contribution to the productivity of the bank. I mean, that's something outside of their control. But they say this will upend family lives because it's much easier for some people to work from home rather than have long recruits. And they say that this was done without any consultation. So over the course of 2 weeks, you have two of the country's biggest private sector employers telling staff, we need to see you in the office more often, and this is mandatory. And I said it last week, I think this is being driven by lots of the multinational companies. I know down in the Financial Services Centre, lots more people have been told to get into the office a minimum of 3 days, if not 4 days a week. The technology companies are bringing people back, in some cases, 5 days a week. And the big push is coming on from employers out there. They have indulged this for a number of years now. Of course, during the pandemic, everybody had to go along with it. But we can see employers now saying, actually, we're having enough of this. You're more productive at home. Okay, and it's easier on your commute. Get the hell back in.
Okay, but what if people are more productive at home? I mean, could a lot of businesses be doing this mainly because they want to justify the cost of expensive real estate that they have? What about the greater societal problems that might be caused by increased traffic as a result of making people come to the office on many more days a week when they could be, arguably, as productive at home?
Well, we actually don't have all that many academic studies showing people are more productive at home. I wouldn't mind, Matt, seeing the data for the likes of, say, Netflix or Disney Plus or some of the gaming sites use during the day, but we don't have those figures available from the internet service providers.
Are you implying that you believe that there are some people who say that they've been productive at home who are actually doing things not connected with their work during their working hours?
Absolutely, yes. I know from talking to a number of publicans across the city that they say some of their busiest days are early evening on the likes of a Wednesday or a Thursday evening, never mind Friday evening. I think
that's just an hour earlier, the hour that they would have been perhaps in their cars trying to get home.
Company bosses put up with this during the pandemic and they said, yes, we have to comply with government regulations, but they clearly want to keep a greater eye on staff, that they are worried that perhaps there are people out there who would have been commuting maybe an hour to an hour and a half every day on either a commuter train or stuck on a bus or stuck in a car. And those people will say, look, we actually can get more work done. There are people who say it's much easier for our family life that we can be able to be there for the children and get them to school a bit easier. But company bosses believe that they want to see their staff, particularly junior staff, back in the office, and they believe it's better for the organisation. They clearly believe it's better for productivity. And the big question is, Matt, if companies are doing it, if all of these big firms are doing it, will the state, actually, which is one of the biggest employers, and particularly in the civil service, start getting those workers back to the office? Because we do know there was a big hearing at WRC a number of months ago where staff in the Department of Social Protection didn't want to go back 1 day per week.
Okay, well, maybe there could be a trade-off, because I think there's a report out today as well suggesting that a 4 day working week is better for everybody. So maybe if people have to come back to the office, they could be told on the basis of, well, do all your work in there in four days and have a 3 day weekend.
There is a push by some people, there's a push by unions in the public sector to do this, but this is a report across seven different countries, including Ireland, and researchers in UCT were involved in it. So this is an academic survey showing that for workers, there is less burnout, less stress, stressed, they feel less fatigued if they have a 4-day week. Well, of course you would feel less stressed and less fatigued and burned out if you're working 4 days a week, because you're only working 4 days a week, but you're getting paid for 5 days and somebody has to pay for that, and that's your boss and the company shareholders. So I think, Matt, look, just get back into the office.
John in Cork says, how dare you suggest that AIB employees working from home didn't contribute to the bank's enormous profits?
The biggest contributor to the bank's enormous profits was the European Central Bank putting up interest rates and the bank taking advantage of that and people leaving their money on deposit.
Okay, another one says, that's ridiculous, Ian. What about the climate change issue? Have we learnt anything at all? I work from home and I'm far more productive working from home.
Well, we heard from the government earlier today that there's going to be huge climate benefits from the National Development Plan. We have fleets of Dublin buses are all zero emission vehicles. We are going to have new trains from Éireann Road Éireann coming up, particularly on the Dart as well. And of course, you've got all these cycle lanes that are around Dublin as well. So there are plenty of ways people can reduce their carbon emissions.
We have one supporter who says it's about time to stop people parenting at home and giving them tax-free allowances to do it. Get them back into the office like the rest of us. And of course, there's lots of people who don't work in offices who work in jobs where they have to be in the workplace 5 days a week.
Thousands of people who work in retail, construction, people who work in the likes of schools, teachers. We also have nurses and doctors, all of whom have to turn up on their daily job every single day.
Okay, you also sent me a line about how the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission has been asked by the government to examine whether there are barriers to preventing new entrants to the supermarket sector. I just thought this is just the ultimate in cynicism from the minister who decided this, because they know the answer. They don't have to get the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission to tell them. They know that this is deliberate government policy set 20 years ago to stop out-of-town big supermarket developments.
And look, I'll give the credit to Charlie Weston on this. He's reporting it, that the CCPC, can you get the likes of an Asda or a Francis Carrefour in? Absolutely not.
And we know why. We don't need a report to be done to tell us.
You can't build a massive hyperscale supermarket here in Ireland the way you get them in continental Europe. There's a cap of, I think it's 4,000 square metres in Dublin, a little bit less in the rest of the country. Also, you're not going to get any of the British retailers coming in anymore, because what's the big issue? They'd have to bring in a load of goods from the UK and that affects their supply chains. The only way to get a new entrant into the market is do what Tesco did 20 odd years ago and buy an existing operator and then grow. But you're right, Matt, nobody's going to come here, even if the profit margins are quite good, because it is a planning issue and that is up to the government's policy, because they didn't want big shopping centres where these supermarkets could lower the price.
One last one, just briefly. Tell us about something international which has massive relevance, though. This $500 billion OpenAI project with SoftBank that Donald Trump had trumpeted.
Yes, this was a big plan to develop Project Stargate, which is a big artificial intelligence project. SoftBank, the big investment company, but also ChatGPT's owner, they had a big ceremony in the White House where they would spend $500 billion building data centers that would come up with all these fancy new AI projects. Actually, it doesn't look like it's going to go ahead in anywhere near that level, because they can't agree on how to raise the money behind it. It was named after a science fiction series that's called Stargate, and it looks like this may be science fiction as well, because there's absolutely no way they can work out how do we make money out of this, because for all of the hype around ChatGPT and OpenAI, the company is hemorrhaging billions of dollars per year.
Thank you, Ian Guider from the Business Post.
The Last Word on Today FM.